Sister Simone Campbell, Executive Director of Network, has spoken out forcefully and articulately about the moral aspects of this legislation, and I am so grateful to have her back with us on State of Belief Radio. Simone, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, as always, it's an honor to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
So the Senate passed this tax bill on a partisan vote despite clear data showing the economic harm it will cause the American people. I can't even ask for all of your thoughts, but tell me some of your thoughts about that.
Well, the top of my mind is we still have a lot more work to do, and we can still stop this very bad bill for our nation. It appears, and I say appears because, as you're saying, it's chaos time, but it appears that there's going to be a conference committee to solve the differences between the House and the Senate version. And that will mean that it will come back to both houses for another vote. And they've got to find a compromise that all of the Republicans can accept. And at this point, there are some serious divisions. But the bottom line is, I'm horrified by this vote. But I am, and Network, our organization, is totally committed to stopping it at this next step.
Mm. Why do we talk about this in moral terms?
Well, because, this is a moral issue. What do we commit to pay for as a nation? And that's what taxes are. Taxes aren't just some, punishment where you have to pay a fine. That's in the criminal system. But the fact is, taxes are what we choose to invest in as a nation. What do we care about as we, the people, and who are, and what are we going to invest in? Now, what has gotten totally lost in this tax conversation is that the choices of how much money we collect then becomes a choice about how much money are we willing to spend. Now, the Republicans are saying, who have always been deficit hawks, who have been saying no more deficit, we can't have a deficit, we have to cut spending, they are committing to spending over $1 trillion in debt to give corporations a bigger tax break. Now, the thing that's horrifying to me, that's a moral issue, is by choosing to do that, you are choosing to not invest in our people. Mm-hmm. And it's that choice to not invest in our people, to penalize our people. Mm-hmm. I mean, the House bill has that students, folks who have graduated with student debt would not be able to deduct the interest that they're paying on their student debt. I mean, they've got additional cuts to the child tax credit for some families. Our families are going to suffer. That is a moral choice that we're making for the sake of large corporations.
They're not even looking at moral values as a goal. They're looking at campaign money made available to them because they passed this legislation.
Exactly. And so it's self-interest that's driving this. I mean, they have held out this thing that they should slash taxes. That's their plan. But in so doing, they're going to hurt our people. Mm-hmm. And that is wrong in my book. They have this theory called trickle-down economics, which means that you give more money to people at the top, and then they're going to raise wages. They'll pay more wages, and they'll create more jobs. Mm-hmm. But we've been doing this same policy for 35 years, and we know how jobs are, and we know how wages are. Wages are low and flat.
Yeah.
So what I say is, you know what the definition of insanity is? Where you keep doing the same thing over and over, but you expect a different result.
Yeah.
So this bill really is immoral, but it's also insane. It's based on total faulty premises.
When you look at this legislation through the eyes of your faith, through the eyes of Network Lobby and your activist partners, what are the areas of greatest concern for you?
Well, I think looking at it from the eyes of faith, especially as we in the Christian tradition approach Christmas, it's what do we do to the least of these? I mean, What the huge cuts would result in housing cuts, Medicare cuts, Medicaid cuts. It's going to result in food stamp cuts. I mean, it's, and one of the pieces that's missed is that some of these cuts will be automatic just because they've driven up the debt so much. And so there is absolutely no care about the impact of having people with food insecurity not be able to access food. Mm-hmm. That's moral.
Yeah.
In my book, who are we as the richest nation on earth that we cannot care for the least? Just this morning, we and our organization's been doing a day of service just to keep our feet on the ground and connected with folks. And I was at a homeless drop-in shelter talking with guys about who are struggling so hard. And some of the guys that I was talking with at the homeless shelter are employed, but they don't have enough salary to be able to pay for housing in the D.C. area. I mean, and now the Senate is proposing that they're going to cut all these services? That's a moral issue in my book. It's wrong.
Well, it's shocking how the normal lawmaking process seems to have been abandoned in favor of just purely partisan pandering. Are there consequences here short of just voting out of office everybody that we can?
Well, I mean, quite frankly, some days that's what I think is the only answer in this. But do you know what I worry about, Weldon? Okay, so we vote out the Republicans and we vote in the Democrats who've been so hurt, so put out, so marginalized in this process. The temptation is to return and do the same thing, only Democrats doing it to Republicans. And what we, the people, have got to stand up and say, no, we will elect people who will work together. Because there are different views. It is possible to have a different view. But when you're not listening to anybody, that's not faithful. And it's not the way forward. So I think one is elections are going to be critical. And you should know that in both the House and the Senate bill, it appears that there are provisions that churches and nonprofits would be able to endorse candidates going forward. There's some serious problems with that, but that appears to be in both bills.
Yeah.
But what we have to do is say we have a higher bar. We, as people of faith, are going to require that we have dialogue, engagement, and listening to varieties of perspective and finding a shared common good way forward. But we've got to preference the needs of the most vulnerable. That's faith. That's where we are.
Simone, I'm not getting a sense that the entrenched forces on the political religious right, the Americans who are thrilled to be in power, are particularly alarmed with the ongoing deterioration of both civility at home and of our stature in the world. So much of our public rhetoric is being built on untruths. I know each of our respective religious traditions describes a, quote, father of lies. So how do we reconcile dishonesty as a tactic with the critical need for integrity and fundamental decency?
Well, I think that's where the seduction of power, and in the Christian tradition, it makes me think of the early story of Jesus being out in the desert and being tempted by the temptress for power. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, it appears that some leadership who have been seduced by access to power have lost sight of the need for the fact that the truth will set us free, that lies only bind us in division and hate, and that we have, as people of faith, have to stop it, that the power is so seductive that truth gets lost. And so at this point, my perspective is we need prayer, we need engagement, we need clarity, and most of all, we need a conversion of heart in our nation to move away from this very divisive, destructive approach. But, you know, Weldon, I have to say, I mean, I know the seduction of power. I mean, it is pretty alluring to have, you know, members of Congress, the Senate, all this, you know, recognize me, be excited to see me, that kind of thing. So there is a seduction. This is not like it's easy. But the fact is that only prayer and continued reflection can keep our focus on what really matters.
Yeah. That's a great observation, and it highlights the importance of people in Congress as well as people elsewhere, too, to discipline themselves by democracy and by morality. That would help immensely.
Amen.
Sister Simone Campbell is Executive Director of Network Lobby for Catholic Social Justice and the original nun on the bus. Her invaluable book on grassroots organizing and spirit-filled activism is titled A Nun on the Bus, How All of Us Can Create Hope, Change, and Community. And I dare say it would make a wonderful gift during the holidays. Simone, as always, thank you for doing this.
Oh, it's an honor. Thank you, Weldon. Glad we all can do our parts together.